Take your Bible, would you please turn to Philippians chapter number 1, book of Philippians chapter number 1. Many years ago, we had an elderly lady in our church that I believe got saved. And you've probably heard me talk about her in the past. She would come in and I'd say, "How you doing?" And I always had this list. And so she'd tell me this, that, and the other thing. And so I finally just started saying, "Well, boy, you look great." "Well, I'm not so great." And so I got to where I wouldn't even ask anything about how she was, but she still told me. And she had all these ailments and all these problems, and she probably had them. We had another lady in our church, probably about the same time, that was crippled. Had been in a car accident as a youngster, and walked with a bad limp. As a result of that, lived in constant pain. There was always hurting going on. But if you asked her how you're doing, it was always, "I'm doing well, doing good." And you'd hear her laugh a lot and so forth. And what I want to share with you tonight is perspective. Perspective. I entitled the message tonight, Perspective Makes Perfection. How we look at things is very important. And as I look here in Philippians chapter 1, we'll start in verse number 12. I say all that because of what it says in these scriptures. Verse number 12, and I'm going to read a goodly portion. It says, I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. There's my main text. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. By the way, he's writing from jail. He's in jail in Philippi. This is one of the, not in Philippi, but he's writing to the Philippians. It's one of the prison epistles. Verse number 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I will not. For I'm going to stray betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you tonight for the tremendous book you have before us. What a book of hope, what a book of encouragement we have here as you instructed Paul to write these Philippian believers. We pray tonight that you might work in our hearts. Give us something for our soul from your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We know from the word of God that Paul had a great desire to preach the gospel in Rome. In Acts chapter number 19, verse 21, it says, "And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome." And then he wrote to the Romans in chapter 1 and verse 15. He says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." But I want you to think about this. Instead of going as a preacher, he went as a prisoner. Huh? What he got there? Instead of as a preacher, he went as a prisoner. The record of all these events are found in Acts chapter 1 to the end of the chapter. And I believe he sums all of it up right here in verse number 12. He says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Because he had a single mind of sharing the gospel with the world, he didn't find joy in having ideal circumstances. He found it in reaching others for Christ. His circumstances, though we would look and say they were horrible, yet it promoted the furtherance of the gospel. That word furtherance is an interesting word because it's a term that means to open new territory for advancing troops. In other words, to pioneer advance. And what we find is that God uses some strange tools to help us to take the gospel to the world, to help us further that gospel. Now think about it here. He says, "For the furtherance of the gospel." Go on verse number 13. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." It's talking about him being bound. And basically, we could say he'd been bound with chains. And rather than complain about the chains, Paul realized how God wanted to use them. He saw something in that. In 2 Timothy 2:9, he says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." He saw opportunity, though there were chains about his wrist. Matter of fact, we find that he was between four soldiers for 6 hours at a time. Now think about it. Here is great Apostle Paul, and he's changed up to four guys for 6 hours. Guess what he got to do for 6 hours? And they couldn't get away. You know, if I preached for 6 hours, most of you'd go to sleep or you'd be out the door. But hey, he had chains on. And if they went to sleep, he just had to yank on the chains a little bit. And it gave him contact with the lost. It also gave him contact with the officials of Caesar's court. Isn't that interesting? Here's a fellow that got to testify in the courts of Rome. You know, sometimes we feel like we're chained to some kind of difficult duty, when in fact it may be God's perfect will in reaching a particular person. God has something that might, because of it, jog the mind of somebody else. When you have a single mind, you look upon your circumstances as opportunities for giving out the gospel. It doesn't matter what it is. And listen, it's our perspective, is it not? It's how we view it, how we look at it. And if all the circumstances we look at with negative thoughts, that's not going to help a thing. But if we look at it as, hey, this is something that God has given me for the furtherance of the gospel, that'll get your bones excited. It not only gave him contact with the lost, but it also, as we find from the scripture here, that in verse 14, the brethren waxed confident by my bonds. It gave courage to the saved people. And so the Apostle Paul, he had the chains upon him, but because of his perspective, because he had the right outlook, he didn't sit around and whine and moan and cry, but he testified of God's goodness in his life. Can we testify of the goodness of God as we have handcuffs upon us? That'd be kind of tough, wouldn't it? But yet Paul did. As we look a little farther, verses 15 through 19, we find that there were the critics of Paul. So we have the chains upon Paul, but we also find that there were critics. Now basically, there's two kinds of people in the ministry. There are those who are self-seeking and desirous of a personal following. They are contentious, basically, which literally means canvassing for office. In other words, getting people to support them, somebody to be on their side. And then there are those like Paul whose aim is to glorify Christ by getting people to follow him. Let's read verse 15 to 19. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. I don't believe that's talking about the salvation. The soul is already saved. Salvation doesn't always apply to the soul. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It didn't matter to him that some were against him. All that mattered was the furtherance of the gospel. What's our perspective? How do we look at things? Do we always see negative, or we see how God's doing some things and look for the positive in it? Whatever it is, God has it there. I remember so vividly laying in the hospital bed for about, I don't know how long I was up there. I counted the days once. What was it, 119? Something like that. And as I lay there on so many occasions, I'd have nurses and doctors come in. And it was such a privilege. I didn't have to go knock on the door. I didn't have to call them on the phone. They just came into my room, and there I could talk to them. And you know what? They had to stay so long because they had work they had to do. Seriously. And I remember so well one of them, she was the, what would you call her? She took care of my, what do you call that anyways? When they pump all the fluid out of your body, your blood, and redo it and stuff. Dialysis. When I was having the dialysis done, the gal that was doing that, she couldn't leave the room. She was stuck there. 3 hours, she had to stay there. And I'm not sure what she had in her perspective, but I know what was in mine. And there was just that kind of thing. If we look at it in the right way. So we find that he had chains. We find he had critics. And yet, what did he have? He had, I believe, a great perspective. And then notice verse number 20. As we come down to verse 20, to the end of what we read today in verse 26, we find it says, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I believe a key verse number one, or chapter 1. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not, for I'm going to straight be betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is needful for you. Now I look at this and I think to myself, Paul had a great perspective, even though he was in what I could call a crisis situation. Because of his chains, Christ was known. Because of his critics, Christ was preached. Because of his crisis, Christ was magnified. Did you see that in verse number 20? Shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, does Christ need to be magnified? Well, let's think about this for a moment. Which is bigger in normal circumstances, stars or the sun? I've seen pictures that show the sun and how big it is compared to the earth and to the moon, and then it'll take a star and compare it to to our sun, and it makes it look like it was a dwarf. And then they'll find another star that makes that one look like a dwarf, and when it's all done, the biggest one that they show right next to it's this little dot that is our sun. How can they see that? They use a telescope, don't they? Stars are much bigger, but the telescope brings them closer to the eye. Does Christ need to be magnified? Through our lives, we can make him more real in the lives of other people. Men have Christ brought closer through the crises of a Christian. People see you when you're going through problem times. They find out that if your salvation is real, they find out then if your Savior is who you say he is. Interesting, is it not? Paul had no fear of death as we look at this chapter, but he certainly wanted others to be drawn near to Christ through his life. He desired that so much. And when I read verse number 21, I see a man with a great attitude that cannot have joy denied him. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Can you beat that one? To live as Christ and to die as gain. Now, a lot of people, they look at that and they would read, for me to live as money or fame or power and to die as to leave it all behind. But that's not Paul said, is it? For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. What is that perspective? How we look at it. How we look at it. I find that homes, marriages, churches, yea, even nations, it's really about perspective. How we see it, how we look at it. Can we look at things through the eyes of God? Can we see it in that regard? And understand that whatever it is that comes our way, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Pretty simple, amen? And that can be exciting. So the next time you have a flat tire and you're out alongside the road somewhere, you might say, Lord, what is it you want to accomplish with this? It might be that guy that pulls up to help you change it. Who knows? Who knows? It's interesting that if you and I have the right attitude, what a blessing that can be. Amen? Perspective. Boy, I'll tell you, when I get out of perspective and get the wrong attitude towards things, I'm not a happy camper. And I don't like being in that particular position, do you? But if I look at it from the eye of God, wow, it's like being Superman. Nothing can stop it. It's great. Well, we're going to close right there. I'm going to ask Chad to come, and I believe you got a letter tonight, do you not? And we've had several recently. I don't know which one or two he's picked out, but I hope that when if you got email and you get those letters, you read those and pray for those folks concerning the different things. Can rejoice with them as well. Get excited with the things that take place. And a lot of times they give you a lot of insight into personal lives and something we can pray for. Amen. Come on.